Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to Officially Unofficial, presented by Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Junta, and we are joined with a legend, a man that when the lights were shining the brightest in October, he put the team in his back pocket. Grand slam against Chris Sale. Is that good? You tell me. It is my pleasure to welcome a massive Johnny Junta guy, Jordan Luplo. How are we?
I'm great, man. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing great, man. And I forgot to mention, brand new Arizona Diamondback. You have to be juiced about that just based on the fact that you just bought a crib in Arizona. So, I mean, was that one of the teams on the radar? You reach out to them or they reached out to your agent?
Nothing, dude. It was complete blindside. Maybe it was kind of a manifest in a way, you know, buying a house here, getting it all set up, and then boom, the Rays trade me over a few days before the lockout. And now we're here, man.
So now you went out on top. I mean, I think was your last at bat that grand slam, or was it what was it? Do you remember?
It was a double.
That's good too. That'll off play.
Rodriguez.
Okay. So. All right. That'll play. Anyway, so I'm wearing the Michigan hoodie. I'm a Big Ten champion. I was there last weekend. I'm going to make an announcement on the show. All right. This is why I'm a big Jordan Luplo guy. Here it goes. This is going to get clipped. Here we go. Here we go. And I'd like to announce, I don't have a National League team, the Braves, because Tyler Matzik, the Arizona Diamondbacks are now my National League baseball team. You sign Jake Hager, you sign Braden Bishop, and you pick up Jordan Luplo. Now I'm on the map. Now you got my intention. I'll be going to Chase Field, maybe chopping it up. I mean, these jerseys are dynamite. I mean, we could just establish that right off the bat.
Yeah, dude. Hey, I love it. I love the support, you know, officially unofficial, always for the boys. I will tell you that.
The biggest for the boys pod of all time. And do you, like I said, you don't know anyone on the team, correct? You don't know one person?
No, man. I haven't. No, I don't know a single soul.
How does that work? Like, how does that work in a locker room when you just get traded, your first day at spring training? Are you the type that's going to be going up to the guys, or are the guys going up to you? How does that work?
I think I'm just going to kind of make it casual, man. I think I'm going to go up to the guys that are around me and, you know, try and get to know them. I think it's just kind of like, another thing for spring training. You know, you get to learn people's names, where they're from, you know, how they like to work, and just kind of introduce yourself. And some of the guys introduce themselves. So
I can't wait for you to meet Jake Hager. I don't know if you've met him. He's a man rocket, one of the best looking dudes of all time. Big UFC guy. That's a little thing you guys will click. Maybe you could chirp him on this. When he got drafted first round, I believe it was like 10th overall, he got first round 2012 on his license plate. So that's a chirp you could maybe throw at him, get a little casual, let him know you know King him. That's something. That's a little ammunition for you.
We'll see. Yeah, I don't want to start out with that, but that will definitely
Just bring my name up. He actually – that's the guy that's put me in his back pocket in fantasy. He absolutely just fleeced me on two trades. I gave up a lot of guys for like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's absolutely dog shit. So that's a guy that's absolutely fleeced me. And being an AZ, I mean, how fired up is your family now? Because before, you're at Tampa Bay, it's kind of a weird stadium, it's a weird drive. Now you're right in the heart of AZ. They have a place to stay. No more hotel. None of that shit.
Yeah, dude. Lock it in. Lock it in. A lot of family time. First West Coast team too. So being a California guy, we play three teams in California. I'm probably going to lose half my salary to tickets this year, but it's okay.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good point. Musgrove actually mentioned that too. When he plays in San Diego, he's pretty much playing for free. So like that's a guy you just go to the trenches with, just absolutely electric. You and Musgrove are actually going to UFC this weekend. And like I said, I'm a degenerate gambler. What's one or two guys that you're locked in on right now? If you're going to gamble, I don't know if you're going to gamble. Maybe you're retired, but who's one or two guys you're locked in on?
Hey, I did have to take a break there for a while. It was getting rough.
I respect it. But
we're back. Maybe we put in another J&J parlay.
Yeah. I'm going to tweet it out. I'm going to tweet the J&J parlay out. We're going to get the people involved.
Lock. Sugar Sean is my lock, and I love the guy. I root for him. I think he's going to do it. The main event, I mean, Nunes is a lock too, but that's just the odds aren't going to be there. I might go Oliveira. He's the underdog. He's the champ. So there's good odds there.
We love that. We love value on this podcast. And one thing is, we had Oscar on a couple of weeks ago, or 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he and Quantrill and all these guys said, when you got traded from the Guardians, credit to me for getting that name right, to the Rays, you were on the team bus on the way to the field. How did that reaction go? What happened there? I was golfing. I was at a loss of words. I thought I was reading something. I thought I was memorizing. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, dude. I was on the bus, and it was kind of – I just got off the IL. So it was really unexpected. And as I was walking off the bus, I look at my phone. I got the GM calling me. I go, well, boys, I'll see you when I see you. And so they were like, what? And I was like, I'm about to get traded. Watch. Boom. Sure enough. When we're getting our freaking COVID tests in line, I'm getting traded. So that was interesting news.
It was awkward because, I mean, Oscar said that you were like, it's just you're on the bus. You have to, I guess, wait till the bus ride is done. You're not even on the team anymore. You're not going to see these guys anymore. What's one thing you're going to miss about Cleveland? Because those fans there are pure psychopaths. They love sports down there. What's like one thing you're going to be like, man, I'm going to miss this shit?
Honestly, you nailed it on the head right there. It's the fans. Like, obviously, the dudes on the team, number one, love those guys. Got a great bond with them. But playing in that stadium when it's full and the fans are rowdy, like we're in the hunt. It's fun. It's fun.
And when you deal with the Browns for that long, when they were absolute dog shit, I mean, you have something to root for there. And one thing about you that people don't know, I was actually at the game on Sunday for the first win since week 13 of last year. The Detroit Lions, you're a Detroit Lions fan. Is that something that the fans were roasted you for, or you just kept that in the back pocket? You didn't tweet it, none of that shit.
I kept it in the back pocket, dude. You can't let, you know, I was trying to get as many fans and followers as I could. So I said, hey, I kept the Go Blue to myself because, you know, at the time, Michigan wasn't doing so hot against the Buckeyes. So, but now.
Now you can, yeah.
Now I can roast them. Now it's my turn. So, yeah. I kept it low key.
It's electric. I mean, dude, you should have seen that stadium on fucking Saturday. Like, it was bananas. And I'm going to tell the story. Some Michigan fan beat the brakes out of a cop at the game, like beside me. Like I'm not even lying. There was this one guy, he had bald hair. He was chirping the Iowa fans like, dude, relax. Like Michigan's up like 30. Like, what are you doing? And the cops come up because I don't know what he said to her or something like that. And this guy just throws an elbow from hell right at the cop's nose, blood everywhere. There was like six cops that had the taser out, everything. It was bananas. I mean, those fans that do that are the biggest clown shows of all time. You're at a sporting event. You have no ties to the team. Maybe if you went there, I don't know. This guy didn't look like you went there. It looked like he was straight out of a fucking Netflix movie, but that's insane. Have you seen any shit like that playing in big league games where you like turn around and there's just a massive commotion in the fan, in the crowd?
There's definitely been a few. I've seen some White Sox fans get after it in the stands. I never get to see the punches or the whole, you know, fight scene, but I always get the aftermath or the big people rolling down the bleachers. Like,
that's electric.
It's always in the end of the game because people can't handle that alcohol. By the fifth, they're ready to go.
I mean, that guy's not going to come out of jail forever. I mean, you throw a bow at a cop, you're just donezo. It's just game over for you. I forgot to mention, by the way, you just got surgery. I believe it was a couple months ago. You're rolling around in a walking boot kind of scooter thing. How you feeling, man? How's the leg, the ankle, the foot, whatever it is? How's it feeling?
Good, man. It's going along really well, ahead of schedule. PT over here is great. I mean, we got all off season still, but I feel ready to go, man. I'm about to start swinging here soon, and from there, then on, it's up.
Because the people don't know this, because I'm a Luplo guy, I'll mention it now. I mean, at a certain point, you were playing injured. Like, you couldn't apply pressure on your front foot. So just give a background on that. I mean, would you think about that mid-swing? Like, I don't want to snap something here, so I'm going to, like, go lightly down? Or what was the deal with that?
Yeah, usually before the DL or IL stints, it was like, all right, I can't swing this at bat. Like, this guy better walk. Or I'm screwed. Like, I'm taking three right here. Yeah, it got to a point throughout the season. You know, it started in January, just kind of battled through it. Thought it was a different problem, wasn't. But, you know, long story short, it was a tough season and we got through it. Now we got it fixed and we're going to be ready to go.
And now you're going to, like, at what point can you start letting it eat in the cage? Like, because obviously you're just starting right now. So it's going to be like February or what?
I'm guessing January.
Really?
Yeah, mid-January, I think I'll be pretty full go, to be honest.
Pray for the NL. So I want to talk about your time with the Rays. So obviously you go from a system that's not really analytical to a system that is bananas analytical. We're talking starters. We're talking all this shit. What was, like, one of the biggest culture shocks you had with the Tampa Bay Rays? Like, was it the platoon at-bats? What was it?
I mean, that happened a little bit in Cleveland, but they would kind of let you ride it out. Francona had more feel. He was just like, if you were hot, you stay on the field. If, you know, but with the Rays, it didn't matter if you're hot, you're cold. Like, they had a plan for you, and it was every time until you showed them otherwise. So, yeah, that, like, especially after the Grand Slam getting taken out, that was tough. It was definitely ultimate high, but it was tough. You know, after that, you hit a Grand Slam, you're walking up to the box with the most confidence you ever had
in the world. Yeah, no, I was shook, man. I was ready to just roast Kevin Cash, but I was respectful. It's crazy to me. And that home run was insane. I think what happened was I was watching it in a grocery store. I put the phone on, like, one of the, like, the shelves, and I start getting a shit ton of text messages because I'm watching it illegally because of blackout, all that shit. And I'm starting to text messages like, holy shit, Luplo, holy shit, Luplo, holy fuck, all this shit. And I didn't even know what was happening. So I'm watching it, and I'm just watching it with anticipation. It was like a 2-minute delay. So you're probably already at home, and you're probably already in the dugout. And I see that ball get launched, and I go absolute bananas in the food basics. I believe that's where it was, free ad there. And it was just insane. Was that the biggest moment, might be a dumb question, of your career? Like, one of those moments where you were, like, out of body experience?
Yeah, dude, that, I mean, it's hard to compete with that moment. That was one of the best things I've ever felt in my entire life.
That's so electric.
That right there, that Grand Slam was better than sex, I will tell you.
100%. And listen, and I say this all the time. I mean, the guys that gamble on the sports, gamble on all that shit, winning a bet, hitting a big league home run 100 times better than sex, call me a fucking loser, all that shit, that's the adrenaline you want. That's the adrenaline you need. So I want to go into that at bat for a second. So you step up. It's a Cy Young winner on the mound. It's not a bum. It's not like a McCook Community College guy on the bum. It's Chris Sale. So what was your thought process when you step up to the plate and there's bases loaded?
I mean, what else is there? I mean, go for it, dude. Like, what
Let
else?
It eat.
You're in the playoffs. You got, like, the trop is popping from top to bottom, dude. They usually block off the upper section. It's full. It's crazy. The towel, the yellow towels were going, and like there were so many towels going, you could see the lint from the towels on the field. It was going all over the place, and it was just one of those moments where you just lock in, and I mean he just threw it over the plate and I just whacked it. So
I mean, there was a lot of jokes on Twitter from Rays fans calling you his daddy. Like, I don't know if you saw your mentions, but what was your, like, phone like after that? Because I don't even know if I would have been able to, like, even realize what I just did if I did that. So was your phone just fucked?
Yeah, I had to set it aside for a little bit after the game and soak it in. And unfortunately, we ended up losing the game, so it wasn't like a happy look at my phone thing. But yeah, it was cool to see all the support, and, you know, the officially unofficial pod was all over it right away.
So. I was immediate screen record, grab it, tweet it, get it going. And there's one guy, I don't know if he was your hitting coach. This is a guy that it's day and night. He will retweet something about Jordan Luplow. I'm trying to remember his name. No idea. I don't know what he is, a hitting coach, something along those lines. But you got some fans out there, man. I mean, the Rays Instagram was buzzing with Jordan Luplow stuff. And that picture is absolutely electric with the bat drop. Is that in the man cave right now? Like, what's the fucking deal, Luplow? What are you doing?
It's going up, dude. It will go up in the man cave as soon as I get it going. I'm going to put the two TVs up and it's going right next to him right there.
So, do you have the jersey? You have the bat? Like, what do you have from that home run? Obviously not the ball, but what do you have?
Dude, I actually just pulled the bat out today. I was messing around with it. I was doing something like around the house with it. Like, I think I was hammering something with it. I'm like, dude, no, I used this bat to hit it was a playoff grand slam bat. I probably shouldn't be messing with it.
That is absurd. And obviously you've been in the playoffs before, but when you're on a team like the Rays who won the AL East, which was the best division in baseball. I mean, you guys would go down like 7-0 and you would just casually come back and win like 10-7, 10-8. So when you go into a playoff with a team that it's legit World Series or bust, what's that locker room like? Is it loose? Like, what's it like?
They were pretty focused, man. I mean, it was only a couple months with these guys, but everyone was super focused, but they had a calmness about it. It was like, they've been there, which they did. They've been there and they're expected to do this. And, unfortunately it didn't happen, but I think the locker room was in the right mindset. We just kind of ran into a buzzsaw in Boston.
And what's the atmosphere like on the plane on the way back to Tampa after that series loss? Like, is there one guy that's trying to keep the bus loose, or is it just like you could hear a pin drop, no one's talking, no phones, none of that shit?
No, it's quiet, dude. It's your season's over. You're just now you're like, you're unsure what to do. You're like, I got to book a flight to go home, but I wasn't planning on going home for another 3 weeks. Like,
yeah.
So it was, and you're kind of taking the last look at some of these guys. So we got together at the hotel. We had a little powwow, a couple drinks up in the suite. So said our goodbyes, I think, pretty well.
Who's one guy you got the closest with on that team?
Glasnow, I've been close with for a while.
Yeah.
And we lived together while I was there. So that was cool. Kiermaier was one of my guys I got pretty tight with. Also Brett Phillips. I'd say Brett Phillips was like, we did a couple dinners together. We went to Busch Gardens. We kicked it a lot. He's a great dude, and I'm going to miss that guy for sure.
Brett Phillips. I mean, that guy is absolutely insane. And do you realize, because obviously you're playing alongside him, do you realize how much he talks to fans? It's honestly, some may say it's a lot, like it's too much. I mean, this guy's legit having full-blown conversations with every single fan in the thing. Do you think that's how he like focuses, or what's the deal with that?
Dude, I don't know. He's a special character. I mean, you got to think he's a hometown kid, dude. He grew up like 20 minutes away from that field. So he's got family, friends, everyone there that knows him. But I think that's just kind of, it's his thing, man. He likes to play loose and react to fans and, you know, mess with them a little bit, say hi. It's just kind of his thing, you know.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Another guy you played with who just got absolutely paid, he already drives two Lambos, is Wander Franco. What was this dude like? I mean, you were there for his debut, I believe, correct? You were actually, yeah, you were there for that.
No.
No, you weren't there for that?
Just before I got there. Dude, special. Like, there's a lot of guys I've seen that have good bat to ball, but his bat to ball is through the roof. I haven't seen anything like it. Like, it looks like he knows exactly what's coming every time he hits.
That kid's going to be terrorizing the AL East for so long. I'm scared of it. And you got to actually play against the Jays. Obviously, we hung out a couple of those nights. What was your first, I mean, you've played there before, but playing there when the team is actually good, what was the atmosphere like, you even being there as like an opposing player? Because I know some guys tell you it's like the best city to visit, right?
Yeah, dude, I like Toronto a lot. It's probably my number one to visit. But that those fans, dude, they show out for their team. They show out, they show up, and they root for them, man. Especially the run they were having. I mean, they almost got in the playoffs there, and they were playing really well. They got a lot of young studs, so I mean, what's not to like?
It's bananas. And I was at that last game, and I told this story all the time. So you know when the Red Sox and the Nationals won, the Jays were in. Right when the Jays win that game 162 against Baltimore, they put the game on the Jumbotron, and Rafael Devers just launches and just ends the Jays season right there. The stadium was – there was a lot of F-bombs. It was absolutely bananas, man. So, that yeah, the fans there are absolutely insane. So have you played – you've played in AZ before, right, obviously?
I had an exhibition game there, but that's okay. About –
Okay, I mean, is that a graveyard like Comerica? What is that?
I mean, when I took batting practice there, and from the word on the street, it's kind of a launching pad. So I'm pretty holy excited shit. To get after it.
That is so electric. I mean, you're just going to be absolutely launching balls into orbit. So you're playing with Madison Bumgarner. Is that something you're excited to? And are you the type of guy that's going to be like, can you sign this jersey for me or sign this ball for me? Or are you not like that?
I'm definitely going to get to know him first. I'm going to, you know, I grew up watching the guy win World Series up in San Francisco. So, definitely going to pick his brain and, you know, get to know him a little bit, but I think that's going to be a goal, is to get a ball signed or a jersey or something like that. You know,
those jerseys that you tweeted, I mean, it wasn't the one that I photoshopped. That's fine. Those photos you tweeted in that jersey is insane. I mean, you want to talk about you not being able to like afford to like live because you're gonna be buying people shit, I will bet my life everyone's gonna ask for that jersey.
That's sick, huh?
It's so sick.
I want to wear the old school ones, dude. I want to get the old school like purple and like,
oh yes, the one that Randy Johnson wore like during the Randy Johnson era age. I mean, that guy was a fucking freak too. And in Arizona, I mean, I'm not the brightest dude of all time here, and you played in Cleveland, Tampa, Arizona. What's the difference in like ball flight there? I mean, do balls fly more in the humidity or do they fly more in the dry heat? Pick my brain. Treat this like I'm 5 years old.
All right. I would say definitely the dry. I don't know if you've ever played golf out here, but it makes you feel really good because you can hit a ball. So I'm going off straight golf game right now. Is it adds probably 20 to 30 yards on your drive. So I'm hoping it does that to the balls as well. But yeah, it's gonna be fun out here.
That's a nightmare for pitchers. I mean, you just hate to absolutely see that. And you spent some time in AAA last year too. What was it like being a part of that AAA lifestyle again? Or were you getting groomed and treated like a big leaguer there? Or were you just thrown in a Motel 8 or Motel 6 and they're just like fiend for your fucking self?
Yeah, that wasn't the best experience to go back. You know, it's been a minute, but dude, you want to talk about a team with big leaguers on it? Like, that was the best AAA team I've ever seen in my life.
The Durham Bulls?
Yeah, they're ridiculous. I mean, they won it outright. And then they won the playoff, the 10-game playoff at the end. And just they blew everyone out of the water, dude. It wasn't even fair.
Didn't they have Mike Brosso there majority of the year?
Yes.
Yeah, he's on the Brewers now, I believe, right? Yeah.
He's a stud.
So also break it down to me here like I'm five. The MLB lockout. What's the deal with that? And give the listener like literally like the office quote. Talk to me like I'm 5 years old. Why did this happen? What's going on? And who's at fault here? Everyone's saying it's Rob Manfred, which I'm 100% stand by. But what's the deal here? What's going on there?
I mean, to keep it simple, I just think two sides aren't in agreement. One side wants one thing. One side doesn't want it to change. So it's one of those things where you got to stand up for yourself. You get to a point, I don't know if you have yet or not in your life, where you got to stand up for something you believe in. And I think that's what the players are doing right now. And MLB decided, you know what, we're going to try and get ahead of this thing and lock out the players. So
you can't even do like your physical rehab at like a Diamondbacks facility right now, right?
No, man. I got to see the facility a couple days before the lockout, which is sick. And I was excited to work out there, but then we got locked out. So I'm just going to have to wait a little bit.
I mean, that's just insane. So is one of the things like service time manipulation? Like, do they keep you guys in the loop with like what it is that they're disagreeing with?
They do. I'm not part of that. Like, I don't pay attention to it a ton as far as getting in the meetings and all that stuff. So I wouldn't be the best guy to ask. But yeah, there's some bad blood there for sure.
So you're unemployed right now. Like, maybe if you want to get that Twitter game rolling here, just throw up a will work for cheap ad on Twitter. Just get the people going a little bit.
Do I need to blank out my picture? Like,
I'm sorry, but that shit is so fucking corny. Like, I know a lot of guys of the show are doing it. Musgrove did it, all that kind of stuff. At least make it something fun. Like, make it Rob Manfred, or make it something, like, you know what I'm saying? Make it funny. I mean, that blank picture, it was funny for like the second. And then you start getting other guys, like guys that aren't even in the show doing it, like these random burner accounts doing it. It's like, all right, this is overplayed. So credit to you. You didn't do that, right?
No. What would Johnny G do?
I wouldn't do that. I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't do it. I would probably make it. I don't know if you saw that video I posted of me launching off Rob Manfred. Did you see that?
I don't think so. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I might make it something along those lines of me hitting a nuke off Rob Manfred or something along those lines, because they can't do anything to you. Like, if you make a picture of Rob Manfred, what could they possibly do to you to get you in trouble? You don't work for them right now. That's what Matzik said. Matzik's a free agent, so he's just letting it fly on Twitter right now, technically.
Is he? I haven't seen it. Check it out.
He's putting people in legit body bags, like Dodgers fans. Like, they said, one guy said to him, I remember my first beer. And Matzik said, I don't remember my first beer, but I do remember all of them at the parade. What a body bag. I mean, holy shit. It was a little burner account, too. No name associated with it. That's the shit that the people love. So it's incredible. Have you ever thought about body bagging someone on Twitter? Or do I usually actually do it for you, but have you thought about it?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Some people got it, some people don't. And I'm not a guy that has it. I will definitely do it in person, though. If someone tries to roast me in person, I will put them in a body bag.
Give us an example. Like, what was one example of a fan chirping you or something? And maybe it was in Toronto, so I don't know if you should tell this, because I'm a Toronto guy, but what's one fan yerping at you and then you just came back at them and they just immediately shut up?
I mean, I'm not gonna say that. I'm not gonna say what I did.
Oh, it's a mean one. Okay.
I will say there was a bunch of frat boys out in right field in for the White Sox, and they were wearing me out all game. And so there was a foul ball down the line. I grabbed the ball, and they're all, you know, as soon as I show that I have a ball, they want the ball, right? But they've been roasting me the whole game, talking about all my stats, college, mom, sister, girlfriend, everything, just roasting me. And now they want this ball. And you know how they put the nets up all down the line.
Yeah.
So I take the ball and I hum this thing about 1,000 miles an hour right at them. Like, half of them reach through the fence and half of them dive backwards. And so it just creates like this ball of just frat boys. And they obviously didn't get the ball because it didn't go in the stands. The ball boy got it and they never got the ball.
That's such a good one. I actually saw a funny one. Steven Souza Jr. On Talking Baseball, he told the story of a fan chirping him on the first baseline, and a foul ball goes down there and it's way out. Like, it's like probably 10 rows up. He dives into the stands to like try to like give him like a little punch, legit punches him in the face, and then just goes back like, fuck, I thought I had that. Like, that's an all-time move.
Hey, there's nothing they can do about it.
Then literally nothing, unless they like storm the field and the next thing you know, it's just done. They're just absolutely done. So it's just, you hate to see it. And so being an AZ now, I mean, how's the, you haven't been golfing, right? That would have dumb quote. Have you been golfing?
No, I wish.
So what do you think your handicap would be right now? Like, what are you shooting right now?
Right now, like, it was my first round right now.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm like, I got to be 12 to 15.
Holy I don't fuck. Know. That's still good. I mean, I'd still risk my life for that. So credit to you for that. I mean, and the golf in AZ is bananas, I heard, because they do that thing where it's like dry grass, right? What's it called?
Dude, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know
about.
What it's called. They do like, so in the off season, they dry the rough and the rough is like yellow, but the fairway and the greens are like legit green, like beautiful green. I don't know what it's called. Someone's punching their car radio right now, but that's what it's called. And it's electric. I don't know what it's called though.
Yeah. I don't know what it's called either, but I know they kill the rough. And so it makes you really think about, like, I got to hit that green spot. If I'm not in that green spot, might be tough.
Who's the best golfer you've golfed with in the show? Because you've golfed with like Kevin Pillar. You've golfed with all these guys. Who's one guy that's an absolute stick?
I don't know if you've ever heard him. You should get him on the pod, though. He's hilarious. Ernie Clement.
Ernie Clement. Is he on the Indians?
Guardians. Hey, oh, Guardians.
Guardians. Sorry. Guardians. So he's a stick?
Dude, nasty. Fuck. Nasty player, dude. He's the best guy I've played with so far.
So are you the type of guy that when you play, it's like there's money on every single hole, or you just let it fly? You're just there for a good time, maybe having some Trulies.
See, dude, you got to be a Swiss Army knife. If you can play with the big boys, bet some money, yeah, I'm in. But if it's a group that's like, hey, we're here to chill, maybe we'll throw a couple bucks, like, we'll do that, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's a good point. I mean, if you're like, you have the game that I have when you haven't played for a while, it's just, you're just donating money to the boys. But some of the shit you do is just incredible. What's the nicest course you've played, actually? You've played in AZ and in California and shit. So what's that Mona Lisa course?
Dude, I think the nicest one I've played at is called Madeiras in San Diego. One of the hardest courses I've ever played, but it is beautiful, dude. It's San Diego is a beautiful place in general, but this golf course is legit.
Is Musgrove getting into it or no?
Dude, he can't play golf to save his life, dude.
He's too tall.
He's just not, he just doesn't have it, man.
It's like when he's hitting. I don't know if you watch his at-bats. It's just absolutely incredible, the shit that he does at the plate. I love it.
He's a big late barrel guy.
Yeah, he'll foul tip one like Howie from fucking bench warmers and be like, I tipped it. That's just it. He's a good pitcher. He's an absolute rock star of a pitcher. And he showed me, dude, his place in Pittsburgh when he was selling it. What a fucking spot. Holy shit. That's big. That's show, right? I mean, that's show.
Yeah. He's got a good one, too.
Oh, of course he does. What's Glasnow like as a roomie? I mean, so I could chirp him a little bit here. What is he like as a roomie? Is he clean? What is he?
He's clean enough. Yeah, he's clean enough. He's good. He's bored though, dude. He's like he's a fidget guy. So it's like he's got to be doing something all the time. Like one day he's talking about, I want to be a coder on the,
What the fuck?
He's on the phone with some guy. And the next day he's like, I want to run track. I'm like, what are you, this is opposite, like complete opposite ends of the spectrum there.
He probably could actually not think of it. Like, he legitimately could probably run track. He is freakishly tall. Like, he is probably like 10 inches taller than I am. And actually, I want to bring this up. So when I first met Amir said, you are so much fucking smaller than I thought you was. What was the first Johnny Junta impression you got? I mean, I'm not the tallest of all time. You heard in the chirp last podcast, but what are we talking here?
Okay. Yes. Definitely short, but the man can put a couple drinks down.
Yeah, no, I can't. And sorry, Red Bull. I mean, I showed up to work the next day just in terrible, just like 2 hours of sleep, just absolutely rough shape. But that's what we do.
Wait, so like not the most hangover friendly, but yeah, you wore it the next day.
It was a nightmare. Then I did the same thing the next day. But I mean, that's just what we do for Friends of the Pod, man. I mean, that's just incredible. And when you guys fly to Toronto, how strict was like the landing, the fucking COVID shit? Like, obviously that was right in the fresh of them allowing Americans to come down here. What was it like for you?
It was a lot of, get on the app. You got to have your vax card. You got to have your passport. You got to have all this documentation. And it's kind of, the team kind of took care of most of it. So it wasn't super hard, but I mean, we got in pretty easy.
Is that your new pimp job, by the way? Like, just the bat drop and then stare into the earth's crust? Like, what's the new bat drop for you?
I don't know, dude. Is that it? Is that
That picture will always play, because that's a picture you could just post anywhere and people be like, this guy fucks. Like, that picture is absolutely sick. I think I posted it like 50 times. Like, that picture is all day.
That was a sick moment, dude. That was dope.
It's absolutely banana, especially being like, I don't even know why I was getting texts. I didn't do fuck all of it. I think just people loved you on the podcast. They're like, holy shit, Luplo, holy shit, Luplo. And even Kevin Smith, friend of the pod on the Blue Jays, texted me. He's like, holy fuck, Luplo. Like, that, you just had a whole ovation of human beings just fired up for that nuke. That's what we do here. We get the boys rolling. That's what we do. So it was incredible, man. I mean, was there a rally dip that took place after, or what's going on here?
Oh yeah, for sure.
You had to, because you got taken out, right? So you got to be like, all right, now I got to keep the juices flowing here. Cheer on the boys. Maybe a rally dip.
Oh yeah, Scooby Snack for sure.
Fuck Scooby Snacks. I haven't had those in a while, dude. American dip is just so much different than Canada. It's just Canada dip is absolutely dog shit. No flavor, none of that. It's just an absolute nightmare. So the last thing I want to bring up here is you're going on to next year with a team that obviously struggled. But we're saying they're my team now. They're my NL team besides the Braves. What's like one thing? Because obviously you're going to be getting a shit ton of more playing time because you play like outfield, first base. You can play anything. Maybe we'll mix you in a catcher. What's like one of these goals you have for next year? Because you were close to me getting a tattoo last year. You were at 6 nukes in the first month. I was fucking shook. So maybe we'll do something like that again. But what's the goals you have here?
Bro, let's run that back, by the way.
I'll do it. I'm going to tweet it right here. I'm going to announce it. 20 home runs for Jordan Luplow next year. This might be just like close to a guarantee. I will get a Luplow signature tattooed over the Toronto skyline on my chest. Lock it in. I'm a man of integrity. I wore a suit to the game, pissed my pants. I'll do it. I'm not scared of that bullshit. So we're going to get a pop in here. So besides that, what's your goal here?
Man, dude. I just kind of prove to myself and to other people that, you know, I belong here and, you know, there's a reason I'm sticking around for as long as I have. And, you know, I got to prove a lot of people wrong.
True. And the Rays, I mean, trading you, they play opening day here. We could have had another, like, sweating at Monday Night Football game or something along those lines, but we won't. So thank you, Rays, for trading them to the team that literally will never play in Toronto, ever. The Diamondbacks will never play in Toronto. Maybe I'll fly down there or maybe I'll drive to New York or Philly because those places are close, but we'll figure something out, Loops.
Yeah, dude, let's do it. I'd love to have you out.
Anyways, brother, it was a pleasure to have you back on. Like I said, when the moments shine bright, you think of guys like Matzik, Reggie Jackson, Jordan Luplow. Those are three guys that when the lights shine bright, they put the pitcher in their back pocket or the hitter. Jordan, I appreciate you doing this, brother. We'll get you back on before the season starts for the officially unofficial bump, just like we did last time. And keep buzzing, man. Let's get that foot well and let's start absolutely raking in the cage.
Let's do it. Johnny G, thanks for having me on, bro.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.